Greetings, Saints. Good evening to you. Today I'd like to take a look at divine healing and faith and take a look at whether Jesus still heals just like he did in the Bible. Okay? A lot of people, a lot of churches, a lot of denominations, they believe that all the miracles and the healings, that they all passed away with the disciples. Now, one thing that we have to realize is that when Jesus walked on earth, he healed everybody who came to him. Every one of them he healed. In Matthew 8 and 16, it says, "And when even was come, they brought unto him many possessed with demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and healed all that were sick." He said he healed all that were sick. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just ask that you be with us today and that you show us, Lord, in your word, the things that you want us to see, Father. And that all ears and all eyes would be open to the word that you have here for us, Lord. And that you would increase our faith to believe your promises in the word of God. And Father, we thank you for that, Lord. And we praise you, Lord, for bold faith. To keep on believing that everything that has happened, everything that was promised to us in the Word of God is still true today. And I thank you, Lord, for the Scriptures to believe that. Lord, I can't do this without you, and I ask that you be with us, that you anoint us to say those things that you'd have us to say. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. And I quoted that Matthew 8 and 16. And then he healed everybody that had faith. Remember what happened when he went to his hometown. He said, and he could there do no mighty work. And he marveled because of their unbelief. So now here we got Jesus. He's sitting on the right hand of God the Father. And the question that we ask is, does Jesus still heal like he did in the Bible? Well, yeah, he does. Every time. Now, we look and we see that today, Jesus is not walking on the earth, is he? In the flesh. And we need to know how Jesus instructed us to heal out of the Word. Now, you got to ask yourself, did Jesus say, take ye everyone who is sick to the doctors? No, he didn't. Here's what Jesus commanded us to do. Look in Matthew 28 and 18. And Jesus came to them. And spake unto them, saying, all authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, Jesus, if you see that, he commanded us not only to go out and evangelize and to preach the gospel, but he said to make disciples and teach those disciples to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. Now, what does that leave out? That don't leave anything out that Jesus taught them, does it? That doesn't leave out healing. That don't leave out deliverance. That doesn't leave out salvation. That don't leave out nothing. Everything that Jesus had taught and commanded those original 12 disciples were to be duplicated or replicated into new disciples. And they were to pass it on and make disciples throughout the whole world up until now. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1, and he called unto him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of disease and all manner of sickness. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, freely you received, freely give. Now we see that Jesus, who had all authority in heaven and on earth, He gave that authority to us as believers, didn't he? And we are told to do what Jesus did. And if Jesus commanded his disciples to heal the sick and to raise the dead and to cleanse the leper, cast out demons, and then he told them, those same disciples, to make new disciples and teach them all things whatsoever I commanded you. Now, don't you think that was for today, including the works and power of God, like healing the sick and raising the dead? Well, yeah. Now, let's see what the final words of Jesus before he was taken up into heaven were. Mark chapter 16 and verse 17 says, "And these signs shall accompany them that believe." As believers, "in my name shall they cast out demons, they shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken unto them, was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. Now, Jesus' plan was to give up his individual body, his flesh body, and multiply himself into the bodies of his believers, who's going to go out and do the same thing he did that he commanded the disciples to do. Jesus was replicating himself in all of those who's going to receive his born-again spirit, wasn't he? The body of Christ was to be just that, one large body of believers walking in the same steps that Jesus did. John chapter 20, verse 21 through 23, "Jesus therefore said to them again, Peace be unto you. As the Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Spirit. And whosoever sins ye forgive, they are forgiven unto them. Whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." Jesus was replicating himself with his spirit in his disciples to go ahead and do exactly what the Father had sent him to do. Now, you got to see that the power and authority that was passed down from the Father to Jesus was now passed on to his disciples, and from his disciples to other disciples, and eventually to the whole world. That's the way it was supposed to work. But what happened? Well, the church lost its belief. Remember the gospel that was preached to us. He said, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that live, but Christ living in me." That's Galatians 2 and 20. And if it's Christ living in me, then we can, like Jesus and his disciples, go ahead and lay hands on the sick and heal them. And the problem we've got today is not that Jesus doesn't still heal, as he did back in Bible time. The problem is, we no longer believe that he does. Now, we call ourselves believers, but we really don't believe all that Jesus taught us, do we? We believe that the Bible somehow changed, and Jesus doesn't heal all the time, every time, the same way he did back then. Well, listen to me. The Bible does not lie. It's not schizophrenic. And the sign that we are believers is clearly stated in the scriptures. Just one of the signs that you're a believer is that you're going to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And Jesus expects us as believers to go ahead on and do what he did. Are you a believer? Are you going out and laying hands on the sick and watching them recover? Some of you don't even believe that you have the authority to lay hands on the sick and heal them. Do you have the faith that you can be prayed for and healed every time by the Lord? And if you don't believe that, then you have your eyes on yourself and not on God, on Jesus. God is not a respecter of person. He's looking for believers that see Jesus in them and not on himself. That power comes from God. And it's only restrained. It's only blocked by your lack of faith. Luke chapter 24 and verse 49 says, "And behold, I send forth the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city until ye be clothed with power from on high." Until ye be clothed with power from on high. It ain't your power, it's God's power, His Holy Spirit that works in you, if you believe. His power to do Jesus' works in His name, right? Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, this is one I like, this is one I quote all the time. "Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, unto you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." The Bible says there's no power but of God, and Jesus has given us as believers His authority and His power to defeat the devil every time. Now the devil don't want you to learn this. A lot of you hadn't heard this before now. Some of you have, most of you have probably, but some of you haven't. And that's what the devil doesn't want you to learn. If you learn that you can fight against and beat that devil every time, then he's got to go, doesn't he? That defeated devil, he's got to run like a coward every time, because you know what your authority is. And you know that when you take that authority and apply it, he's got to go. Why else do you think Satan has kept this teaching, which is in the Bible, out of most of the churches today? If that devil can pacify churchgoers into believing in a Jesus that's in you who has no power and he has no authority to defeat him, and only in a Jesus who loves you and wants to save you and run you on off up to heaven, then he's already defeated you, because the devil's going to come through that back door and overcome you with illness, disease, and whatever else you let him get you with. And once you become what the Bible calls a believer, you're going to believe and understand your authority in Christ. Once that happens, the devil doesn't have any power over you anymore, because you believe the word. Then you can call yourself a believer, and you're going to cast out demons, and they shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, and it shall in no wise hurt them, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, if you were the devil, would you want the Christian knowing what their authority is in Jesus? No. You're going to do whatever it takes to keep them out of the church. So when the devil couldn't beat the church, he joined it. And now he's put them all to sleep. He's rendered the church non-effective. Effective by teaching us that all has passed away back when the disciples died. And that these promises in the Bible, they don't longer work for us anymore today. John 14:12 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you shall ask anything in my name, that will I do." That's straight from the mouth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He says that not only are you going to be doing the works that he was doing, but you're going to be doing greater works than you saw him do. You need to read that again and understand it. How can we choose not to believe that we have that authority to heal, just like Jesus did, when Jesus says it himself? All right, here we go. We've got this plan that the Lord's got. He's given his believers his authority and his power to do what Jesus did in his name. And that word name in the Greek is anoma, and that means nature, character, and authority. Jesus wants us to walk as he did in his name, in his nature, his character, and his authority. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that you and other believers have that ability to do what Jesus did? A lot of you were taught that all of that passed away with the disciples, even though the scriptures say that we were to pass this teaching on to make more disciples. That devil has come in, he put the church to sleep. He put them into an unbelieving church that Jesus no longer heals, and his believers doesn't have any power to heal at all. Do you believe that word of God, or do you believe Satan's lies? That's the question you have to ask yourself. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ living in me. And if you're truly born again, you ought to understand that it ain't you anymore. It's Christ living in you. That's why you got the authority to heal the sick and heal them every time. And that's why if you're getting prayed over by a true believer, you got to believe just as if that was Jesus there praying over you. Because it is, because Christ is living in them, right? Let's go ahead and take a look at some men other than Jesus taking that authority just like Jesus did, okay? Acts 3:6-7 says, But Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but what I have, that give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And he took him by his right hand, and raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And by faith in his name hath his name made this man strong. It says over in verse 16, Whom ye behold and know, yea, the faith which is through him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now, it was the faith in the name of Jesus. Peter didn't have to appeal to God. He didn't have to beg God for that healing, because Jesus had already given him that authority to do it. Acts 9:33-34 says, And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, who had kept his bed 8 years, for he was palsied. Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ healeth thee. Arise and make thy bed. And what happened? And straightway he arose. Peter knew that gift that Jesus had given him, didn't he? And he used the authority just like Jesus did. And just like Jesus was doing the same works of his Father in heaven, Peter and the other disciples were doing the works of Jesus, right? Acts 14:8-10. And at Lystra there sat a certain man, impotent in his feet, a cripple from his mother's womb who never had walked. The same heard Paul speaking, who, fastening eyes upon him and seeing that he had faith to be made whole, said with a loud voice, Stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped up and walked. Now, you got to see that we don't see Peter and Paul praying, pleading with God to heal those people. We don't see him praying, Hey, God, if it be your will, Lord, let these people walk. No, that's not what he said. We see them taking that authority they have in Jesus and commanding it to be done. They're taking that authority that Jesus gave them to tread upon them serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Now, you know that serpents and scorpions represent demon spirits that the devil uses over God's people. And what were Peter and Paul doing? They were plundering the devil's kingdom and the power he has over God's people. They were using the people's faith along with Jesus' authority to speak to that illness or that spirit. And what happened? They got healed. Glory to God. Matthew 18:18 says, Verily I say unto you, what things soever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and what things soever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, if you read it carefully, Jesus gives us the authority to bind, that means don't allow, not allow, things on earth And what are the things on earth that we want to bind? Anything that's a curse against us, sickness, disease, whatever. And then they will be bound. They won't be allowed in heaven. And you need to understand that the power has that Jesus gave us, we are to walk in His name and His authority. And what happens? The devil can't stand up to the name of Jesus. We are ambassadors of Christ. We stand instead of Christ here. Christ is in us. We are that ambassador that has authority over the devil. Now, the Lord continues to say that whatever we loose or we allow on earth will be loosed or allowed in heaven. And what's the things we're going to lose? That's the blessings and healings, isn't it? And everything good. Now, can you see what Jesus has given us and what we've lost in the past because we didn't believe all of God's Word? And when you don't believe the Word of God, and that you do have the right to be healed, every time, you are essentially giving your faith to the devil and allowing that sickness to prevail. He says, what things soever you shall loose, allow on earth, shall be loosed, allowed in heaven. If you give your authority that Christ gave you at the cross over to the devil, then it's you and your faith in the devil that's going to prevent your healing. And by not believing the Lord and what His Word says, you're allowing that sickness on earth. And so it's going to be allowed in heaven from God. Just like Adam, when he gave that authority over to the devil. So we're doing the same thing when we ignore the promises in the Bible and believe the devil has power over us. Matthew 18 and 19 says, again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. There ain't nothing more powerful than the prayer of agreement of two or more believers. When you're praying for your healing or something else, God's Word is true and we gotta believe it. James chapter 5 verses 14 through 16 says, is any among you sick? Let him call for the Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And what happens? And the prayer of faith shall save him that is sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, it shall be forgiven him. Confess, therefore, your sins one to another, pray one for another, that you may be healed. The supplication of a righteous man availeth much in its working. You see what it says that the Bible tells us to do when you're sick. It don't say go to the doctor or take some kind of drug. The Bible says to go ahead on and pray for the sick and they will be healed. And God hadn't changed. He wants us to still trust in Him. And only Him, matter of fact, for your healing. God ain't going. He doesn't want to share His glory with man or medicine. He wants your faith. And I hope you understand what that prayer of faith is. It's believing God in faith that not only will He do as His Word says, but that He's already done it. Mark 11 and 24 says, therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you have received them, and you shall have them. That sums it up right there. Believe that you already received them, and they're going to be yours. Do you believe God? If so, how are you going to act if you really do believe? Because your action is going to speak louder than your words. If you're broken your foot, let's say, and the doctor says to stay off of it, or you're going to have permanent damage. Do you believe that doctor? You believe what the Word of God says. If you really believe with all your heart that you received what you already prayed for, then you go ahead on and walk by faith and not by sight. You'll be just like Peter when he obeyed the words of Jesus, when he told him, Peter, let's just look at it. Matthew 14:28-29. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee upon the water. And he said, come. And Peter went down from the boat and walked upon the waters to come to Jesus. You'd walk on that foot knowing God's already healed you. Because that's what the Word of God said. That's the faith that God honors. That's the faith He uses to heal. A lot of times we say we got faith, but we also turn right around and we believe what the doctor says. God's Word says that you are healed. But most of the time we choose not to believe the Word or God. And instead, we believe the word of the doctor. And we do just like the doctor says, staying off of that foot. That ain't faith. You believe the doctor over God. The faith God doesn't honor. In which you'll never see those miraculous healings as a double-minded doubt and faith. Well, you pray, and then you hedge your bets, don't we? We go ahead and seek out man to heal you by medications and more doctrine. That's because you put your trust in man instead of God and what His Word says. James chapter 1 and verse 6 says, let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. For he that doubteth is like the surge of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man, unstable in all his way. God's word, listen, don't lie. The question is, do we have that childlike faith that the Bible speaks of, or do we have doubt and unbelief mixed with what you think is faith? Can we always see what we have faith in? Well, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, that's the definition of faith. You can't see what you have faith in. You can't see God. But we've got faith that He's there, don't we? We can't see Jesus, but we've got faith that He has taken away our sins. And we can't see our body healed yet, but we have faith that God's Word's true and that He's already healed us. The Word doesn't say we will receive healing. The Word says we already were healed. That's a done deal. We dwell in time. God doesn't. Jesus accomplished that healing on the cross. Who His own self bare our sins in His body upon the tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. You know, you can see that by what Jesus did on the cross. He not only carried our sins away, but man, He healed us too. That's past tense. Just like our salvation is past tense, and you accept it by faith. When you can't see it, you can't see your salvation. You can't see that glorified body yet. You're going to get it. We just accept it by faith. And how come we accept our salvation by faith, and we don't accept that we're healed at the cross? I know you don't wake up every day and say, I hope I get saved today. No, you've already accepted it by faith. You accept that you've already been saved until that day it really manifests itself, and then you will be. That's the same kind of faith you need for healing. After you've prayed for that healing, you got to be able to stop looking to the future that you're going to be healed and go ahead on and thank God that He's already healed you, right? And if you actually believed you were healed, how are you going to act? First thing you're going to do is rest from your works of seeking out a healing and rest in what the Lord's already done. You ain't going to be going searching out some kind of doctor. You'd brag on God and confess that healing to others, thanking the Lord for the healing. And if you're not, you're waiting until you see the healing in the mirror. Then you don't believe it's done. And are you always praying for your healing, or have you just settled in and rested and started thanking the Lord for your healing? Since you prayed for that healing, are you trusting God? Seeking medical help? Getting some kind of medicine? And your answers to those questions are going to reveal if you really have that faith you need to be healed. Because without faith, it's impossible to be well-pleasing unto God. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing unto him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek after him. Listen, God just wants you to believe that he is, and that he's big enough to answer your prayer. Anything short of that, God's not going to reward you for what you prayed for. He's already healed. Jesus is already healed. We just got to unite that promise with our faith, don't we? And guess what? God gives us that faith too. Let's see what Hebrews 4:2 said. For indeed we have had good tidings preached unto us, even as also they. But the word of hearing did not profit them, because it was not united by faith with them that heard. You know, God promised the Israelite children their promised land. And though he promised it to them, none believed God when they were tested, did he? Only two of them did. That was Caleb and Joshua. They believed it. They made it into the promised land. But the rest of them didn't. They died in the wilderness because of their unbelieving hearts. It says in Hebrews, the good tidings preached about the promised land did them no good because it wasn't united with faith. There's a whole lot of wonderful promises in our Bible, but nothing that's promised in the Bible will profit you unless you unite them by faith. And that includes the salvation of your soul. If you don't have faith in Jesus, and that you're going to be going to heaven, then you ain't going to heaven. If you don't have faith in the healing promises through faith in Jesus, then you won't be healed either. So if you have a saving faith in Jesus, why not have the same faith that he not only can heal you, but he has already healed you, right? Now faith, that's the key to answer prayer. It's the fuel, that's the gas that God uses to grant you what you prayed for. Your lack of faith, doubt, and unbelief is your biggest enemy. And it makes your prayers come to nothing. I mean, it just goes flat to the ground. James 1:6 says, but let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. For he that doubteth is like the surge of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now, here's a few of the scriptures about faith and belief and doubt. Matthew 21:21 says, if you have faith and doubt not. Matthew 21:22, and all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Mark 4:40. Why are ye fearful? Have ye not yet faith? Mark 10:52. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight. John 11:40 says, Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Verse 44 says, and the man who had died came forth. Mark 11:22, have faith in God, he said. And in verse 23, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he saith cometh to pass, he shall have it. Mark 5, thy daughter is dead, but Jesus, not heeding the words spoken, saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, fear not, only believe. In whatever the situation in your life, just imagine Jesus is with you, because he is. He's in you. And listen to him say, fear not, only believe. and your actions are going to tell of your faith. If you're fearful over a situation, then you need more faith to trust. And not just with your lips, but trust with your heart. You got to trust that God's in control and that He has granted you that prayer of faith. Just believe, He says. Don't doubt in your heart. Now, here's another question. Did Jesus heal those people or did their faith? Matthew 9 and 29, then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it done unto you. And their eyes were opened. Mark chapter 5 and verse 28, for she thought, if I just touch his garments, I will get well. Immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Verse 34, and he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Mark chapter 6 and verse 56. They were laying the sick in the marketplaces and imploring him that they might just touch the fringe of his cloak. And as many as touched it were cured, healed, saved, delivered, set free. If you have that childlike faith and you go before God's throne and you're saying to yourself, if I can just have a believer anoint me with oil and pray for me, I know I'm going to be healed. And if you had that excited, childlike faith, you're going to be healed. The only limitation that Jesus put on healing was our belief, wasn't it? Matthew 8 and 13, and Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And the servant was healed in that hour. Is it God's will or our belief that determines the outcome? I think we know the answer to that. Matthew 9 and verse 29 says, and then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it done unto you. And their eyes were open. Is it according to Jesus' faith or our faith that it's going to be done unto us? Mark chapter 9, verse 22 through 24. And oft times it hath cast him both into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst, all things are possible to him that believeth. Straightway the father of the child cried out and said, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. You know, the problem is we limit God by our small belief. Instead of having the faith for God to just go ahead on and take that toothache away from us, why don't you just go ahead and ask the Father to replace that tooth? God ain't limited, and it's us that's limited. It's our faith that's limited. Don't put God in a box. Believe Him for the best. Listen, it's your belief that's in short supply, isn't it? It's that faith that's in short supply. If you remember, let's look at what Jesus' disciples, why they couldn't cast out a demon. Matthew 17, verses 19 through 20 says, and then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast it out? And he saith unto them, because of your little faith. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. You know, maybe some of you out there got some eye problem. You got glaucoma or cataract. Instead of having faith for God to heal your disease, ask God to give you some new one. So you don't even need your glasses. Remember, If you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, that's a real little thing. You can move a mountain. Don't put God in a box and limit him by your little old bitty faith. He said, go, it shall be done for you even as you have believed. Remember this, that if you really believed you've been healed, you need to act on that faith as though you were healed already. So go ahead and act like you really do believe. James chapter 2 and verse 17, even so, faith, if it have not works, is dead in itself. James chapter 2 and verse 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith apart from works is barren? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, even so faith apart from works is dead. And you can see that when it comes to answered prayer and healing, Lord, I ain't interested in what you say about your faith, but what you do with your faith. Let's say I've got a bad headache, and I call up my old prayer partner, and I ask him to pray for me. Let's go ahead on and pray. Let's believe together. We claim by faith that by Jesus Christ, I'm healed. And then we stand on God's word that says, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And then we'll go ahead on and hit that devil hard with faith in this. If two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it's going to be done for them by the Father. So we close that prayer in the name of Jesus, and I confess with my mouth that my headache is gone and is healed. And then 10 minutes later, that headache's still there. I get a little bit impatient, and I go ahead on into the medicine cabinet and get me a couple of those extra strength Tylenol. And then I call a couple of my other friends and ask if he'll pray for me. Then another 10 minutes, that pain's still there. Then I go ahead on and call the church prayer team and ask them to include me. Listen, that you ain't never going to see any miracles by that kind of attitude. You're going to go to sleep with that head still pounding, aren't we? And you ain't going to see a miracle from God anywhere in that kind of action. Because my actions didn't line up with what I professed with my mouth. And because, even though I said it, I had faith, I really didn't. What I should have done is gone ahead and started thanking the Lord the first time that I prayed. If I really believed God the first time, well, why would I have to go ahead on and pray for it again and again and again? God ain't hard to hear. And if I believe God, how come I went to the medicine cabinet? Shouldn't I have trusted that God was going to take care of it? God's powerful enough to help me. And if I'm praying for a healing to come, that's future tense. That's contrary. That's against what the Word of God said. You're disagreeing by God's Word. He said, by His stripes we have been healed. Past tense. We got to call those things like God does and call the things that are not as though they were. God knows our heart and He sees our faith. And if you walk by sight instead of faith, you're going to doubt and question why you don't see it now. And you ain't never going to be healed. We got to look back at the cross when we're not only saved, but we were healed. We put our faith into action. Let's see some of those faith in actions examples that the Word gives. Look over in Luke chapter 17, verses 12 through 14. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, who stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go and show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And you noticed that they weren't healed right away, didn't you? Only when they got up in faith and went to show themselves to the priest, they were healed on the way. Reckon what would have happened if they'd looked down and seen, after Jesus prayed, that they still had leprosy, and they decided not to go to the priest. Listen, they wouldn't have gotten healed because of lack of faith and their doubt. And that's what happens to us sometimes. We don't have Jesus standing in front of us, speaking His word, so here we go, we doubting. But, Jesus is here. He not only is standing in front of us, but he is in us. Jesus is the Word, and that Word is to be in us. It's living and acting and speaking his Word that causes life in us, right? Did you know that according to the Old Testament law, the only reason those 10 lepers would have gone to show themselves to the priest is to show that they were already clean? They didn't know it until they got up by faith and went on. They still had the leprosy on them, but by faith they got up anyway. They had faith in Jesus that they were healed because of their faith. They weren't walking by sight, were they? They were walking by faith. John chapter 9 and verse 6 says, "When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed his eyes with the clay. And he said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation, sent. "And he went away, therefore, and washed, and came seeing." You notice he wasn't healed right away, was he? He wasn't healed until he went and washed. In other words, his actions lined up with what his faith was. You gotta, every time you pray and believe for something, ask yourself, how am I supposed to act if I believe? And if your actions speak contrary to what you confess with your lip, then repent. Put your actions in line with the faith that you have. Matthew chapter 9, verses 6 and 7 says, "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath authority on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go up unto thy house. And he arose and departed to his house." Just imagine Jesus standing right there in front of you, and he says, "Child, by my stripes you were healed at the cross, and your faith has healed you." Would you still be moping around believing that you were sick, still praying, hoping that you'd get well, still taking some drugs? No. You'd be so impressed that Jesus came and he spoke to you and told you that you were healed, that you'd throw your medication out and you'd be telling everybody how healed you are. Here's what you gotta know. You gotta know, you gotta see that Jesus is here right now and you have his written, inspired word. And you need to believe it. Jesus is here now in every one of his believers. His word is living and active, and when his word says that you are healed, you gotta believe it just like you believe you're saved. Mark chapter 6 and verse 5, "And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief." You know, as powerful and mighty as Jesus was and still is, he couldn't do much in his hometown because of their unbelief. That's what happens today when you prayed for and nothing happened. And if you really believe that it's Jesus in you, and that it's Jesus in that person praying for you, laying hands on you, then you need to believe and be healed. Over in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, we said this before, but I think it bears repeating. "And without faith it is impossible to be well-pleasing unto him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek after him." Do you really believe that God is a rewarder? Do you believe he's going to reward you and answer your prayers? Try pleasing the Father in heaven by having complete faith in him. Know that he's God, and he can do all things for those who trust in him. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, "Because if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and thou shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Most people believe that that verse is only talking about the salvation of your soul. But that Greek word for salvation, that covers not only your eternal life, but that covers protection, your healing, your circumstances, everything around you. If you believe that Jesus healed you or saved you, Have you confessed it? Have you told anyone how the Lord healed you? You got to believe it in your heart to speak it to others. Here's the catch, though. You'll be speaking it by faith and not by sight. You'll be confessing that healing before you actually see the healing manifest itself. Don't feel like you're lying. You're just speaking what the Bible says. That's the eternal part of it. Just like you speak that you're saved even before it's manifested. Our healing ain't no different. We believe it by faith until God manifests it. Romans chapter 3 and verse 4. God forbid, yea, let God be found true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy words, and mightest prevail when thou comest into judgment. You're going to be justified in your words, and if you speak what the Bible says about your healing, guess what? You're going to be healed. If you already healed. If you speak contrary to what the Word said, then you're not going to be healed. What is speaking contrary to the words like? Well, if you say, if it's God's will, He's already shown us that it's His will to heal us. God will heal me. That'd be like saying, I know God will save me someday from my sin. And that's looking into the future, isn't it? Listen, we got to look behind us. Jesus already saved us and healed us by His death on the cross. And to look to the future for what Jesus did, you're against what the Word says. Any words of doubt and unbelief are speaking contrary to the Word. And you ain't going to receive anything that way. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For He who promised is faithful. You might see an immediate healing. But most of the time, you're not going to see an immediate one. That's a test of your faith. It may take hours. It may take days. It might take weeks. But we got to do what the Word says. Hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. You're being tested to see if you're going to hold fast. And if you're going to continue in your faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Don't look to the future for when you're going to be healed. If you do, you're not going to receive it. You don't look for the future for someday you'll be saved. Because if you do, you're not going to be saved. You got to accept that free gift of faith. That's what we got to do with our healing. You got to look backwards to the cross when Jesus said, "It is finished." That's when Jesus not only saved you, He healed you, He delivered you, He set you free from all the bondages that are in your life. 1 Peter 2:24 says, "Who His own self bare our sin in His body upon the tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were," past tense, "healed." You need to accept that you have been saved by faith and that you've already been healed by faith too. If you're sick and you need a healing, what you waiting on? You ought to be just like that woman with an issue of blood who said in her heart, "If I could just only get up there and touch the hem of His garment, I'm going to be healed." Go ahead. Find a couple of mature believers and go ahead and do what the Bible commands. In James chapter 5, verses 14 through 16 says, "Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save him that is sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, it shall be forgiven him. Confess, therefore, your sins one to another, and pray for another, that you may be healed. The supplication of a righteous man availeth much in its workings." Father, I just thank You so much for the faith that You have given us. Lord, You've given us that faith, and all we have to do is act on it. And Father, we just thank You for that. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word today. We thank You, Lord, that we are now going to go out and we're going to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Praise the Lord. And Father, we just praise You so much for what You're doing in each one of us. God bless you, saints.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to unleavenedbreadministries.org. Contributions only may be addressed to David E.